this truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need a service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Some weeks ago, I was interviewed by Kara DeGette, a journalist with the Colorado Springs Independent, like their alternative newspaper, and she's a feminist, pro-abort, pro-homosexual, the whole deal. And so we thought we might as well play that interview for you. So we'll air, what, the first part today, maybe more tomorrow. Let's hear it. Hi, this is Bob Enyart.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Good.
So where are you? Are you in the bunker?
We used to call this a bunker, but now we call it the BEL cabin. Our Bob Enyart Live cabin in the foothills of the Rockies.
Aha. Is this a good number to reach you at?
Yeah. Yeah, this is the best number.
Okay, good. Well, I was listening to your show, but what I was listening to was not the same show because I wasn't listening to...
To the live broadcast.
To the live
on
broadcast
AM 670.
On the radio.
So normally the stream is exactly what we're broadcasting.
Okay. Well, and I thought about that. Because you were doing the whole, you know, calling Susan in the correspondence department. And then I realized, though, that it must have been the show that aired before the ad even appeared in the Gazette.
That's right.
So the ad was $4,500.
Where?
In the Gazette.
We raised money for the Gazette ad and for advertising on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And to continue to promote this warning.
Okay.
If you listen to more of the shows, Kara,
mm-hmm.
we've been very explicit. For example, we had negotiated with WorldNet Daily
mm-hmm.
to be on their front page and their second page for a month, and they were going to charge us $2,000 for that. And when they read the open letter, they said they would not advertise for our open letter. So we took that money, and instead of advertising on WorldNet Daily, we're advertising on Google, which
okay.
is pretty cool that we can do that.
So WorldNet Daily wouldn't accept your ad?
No, and that was what we expected.
Why?
Well, confronting James Dobson is not something that conservative Christians tend to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's pretty much not accepted. And okay. I actually... You know, I've been listening to Dr. Dobson, what, for almost 30 years?
Mm-hmm.
And I first read his book, Dare to Discipline, mm-hmm. back, I think it was in the, let's see, it was the early 80s before my first son was born.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he would cringe at the thought that no one is allowed to criticize him from within the Christian community. I think he would cringe at that thought, because none of us are above being questioned.
Well, so, and what kind of response have you been getting from the ad and from the fact that you are pretty heavily
yes.
criticizing?
Yeah. Well, for Christian leadership to buy into moral relativism
mm-hmm.
is devastating when you look at Christianity as a worldview. It's devastating. It's antithetical. It's the opposite of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Liberals are moral relativists. What's right for you may not be right for me. And the most fundamental difference between right wing and left wing is right wing believes in absolutes and the left believes in relative values, moral relativism. And so when Christian leadership goes down the path of moral relativism,
mm-hmm.
then they are truly losing their identity. And so a lot of groups have done that. A lot of Christian groups become moral relativists, like, say, United Methodist, and they celebrate homosexual behavior, which we believe if you love your neighbor, you will oppose because it's destructive. And they promote abortion rights and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And so many Christian groups have become moral relativist and deny absolute authority and absolute right and wrong, and they become liberal over time.
Right.
And so we've identified that Focus on the Family has adopted moral relativism in their worldview, that when a judge rules to kill an unborn child, it's a good ruling from a good judge if he's following the process. And that is called moral relativism. That's what that's called. In law, it's actually called legal positivism.
Right.
And so the fact that Dr. Dobson has become a moral relativist, when we point that out, it angers many, many Christians, and many, many are extremely thankful. And so we're getting support and anger from all around the country.
How many, how much response actual, you know, actually in terms of phone calls, emails?
Well, we've had a few thousand people go to the Colorado Right to Life open letter.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, the letter, as of yesterday, the letter had only been published in one local newspaper, and the Associated Press story about it that went all around the world, 150 times or so,
mm-hmm.
that did not include a link to the letter. So the vast majority of the Christian community is yet to know about the letter. So as far as responses, there have been hundreds of responses, but, and I would say, in my estimation, they're running about 50-50. But there have not been a deluge of responses.
Well, that's surprising.
Well, I don't know. It's like I said, as of yesterday, it only ran in one local paper.
And that was the Gazette.
That was the Gazette.
But it ran in the Washington...
That was yesterday.
...Times yesterday.
That was yesterday, and that, of course, is producing a new round of responses. I got a call yesterday from a contractor outside of D.C., I think in the Baltimore area,
mm-hmm.
and he said, I just went into my local gas station, got a copy of the Times, read this on page A9, and I'm buying all the papers I can buy to give them to everybody I know. That was pretty cool. We thought that was an encouraging call.
Wow. So how many people total have signed the letter?
Well, the signers, there's only five ministries that have signed the letter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we list about 15 pro-life leaders who have condemned the ruling, including Alan Keyes, mm-hmm. which on our side is extraordinary.
Right.
And the fact that, I don't know how familiar you are with these groups, Judy Brown, American Life League, Human Life International.
Uh-huh.
Judy Brown's group is probably in the top three biggest pro-life groups in the country. And she's been a stalwart of the movement for, I don't know, 30 years.
Right.
And Human Life International, founded by Father Paul Marx, who's known all over the world as a hero of human rights, they have 90 offices in 75 countries. They signed the letter. Colorado Right to Life is the oldest right to life organization in the nation. They signed the letter, and one of their founding board members, John Archibald, is on the list of condemning the ruling.
And I know that the National Right to Life organization weighed in on behalf of Focus on the Family.
Sure, because they're one of the architects of this moral relativist strategy.
So Focus on the Family is not backing down.
Not at all. No. No.
Hmm.
You know, it's pretty hard when you dig into a strategy. See, the Bible says we must obey God rather than man. And so if you're a German and you're a Christian and the commandant tells you, kill that Jewish woman and her child, well, then you have an order from a governing official. But you should disobey that order because we must obey God rather than man. And a German judge who was told this Jew was arrested for hoarding eggs, Marcus Luftgas, and a German judge sentenced him to death for hoarding eggs. So his defense, that judge's defense at Nuremberg, was I was following the law and I was following precedent. Mm-hmm. And our American judges convicted him. And they said that's not a defense for killing the innocent. So when St. Peter in the New Testament said we must obey God rather than man, where God's law and man's law conflict, Christians have always taught you must obey God. Now, Dr. Dobson is teaching you must obey man. And that is a crisis in the evangelical community. That's a crisis of worldviews. He has become a legal positivist.
So what do you do next? And also, what is the time? What is the timing of this whole push?
Well, we've tried to
hold them accountable.
Well, we've tried to do this for 15 years that I've been on the radio, 5 days a week,
mm-hmm.
radio and TV, and others have tried to make this argument, but we've never had as powerful an object lesson as we have in the partial birth abortion ruling, because that ruling is being celebrated as pro-life,
mm-hmm.
and the ruling is explicit in describing how an abortionist can perform a partial birth abortion on a late-term baby.
Mm-hmm. And so what you've been trying to underscore for 15 years is
it's been handed to us on a silver platter,
okay.
that the fruit of their moral relativism is wicked. This ruling is wicked from a Christian perspective. From a Christian pro-life perspective, this ruling is wicked. And they are celebrating it because their strategy has become corrupt.
So can you give me other examples of how they have taken on, of how Focus on the Family has taken on, and some of the other groups that you've mentioned have become and embraced the moral relativism?
We have a DVD called Focus on the Strategy that lays out 7 lines of evidence that Christian leadership in America has become moral relativist. But if we get into any of those other, I could send you the DVD, but if we get into those, it so broadens this conversation that it's pretty tough.
But it's not just Focus on the Family that
you're
talking about, but some of the other groups, like the American Family Association.
Right.
Okay.
And, you know, we refer to this as the pro-life industry.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the budgets of these major pro-life groups in America and candidates who run with partial birth abortion fundraising,
mm-hmm.
you know, the pro-life groups have taken in over $250 million in the last 15 years. And partial birth abortion typically leads their fundraising efforts. So the partial birth abortion fundraiser
mm-hmm.
has brought in $250 million. The partial birth abortion ban has no authority to save even one child's life. So I'd like to say that again because it really encapsulates part of our concern. The partial birth abortion fundraiser
mm-hmm.
has brought in over $250 million. The partial birth abortion ban has no authority to save a single child's life. And millions of Christians have given money for this partial birth abortion ban, and they were never told that it had no authority to prevent a single abortion. They were misled. So that we aired an interview with a nationally known pro-life activist.
Mm-hmm.
And I explained this to her, and she said, well, my mother thought this banned all late-term abortions. And I had to correct her. And millions of Christians believe that. Millions. Because
well, certainly, I think most Americans believe that.
That's because, and you heard the call with Susan at Focus mm-hmm. on the Family
mm-hmm.
with Will Duffy. Millions of Americans believe that because of the pro-life hype through countless Republican campaign literature, TV, radio spots, focus on the family, national right to life, leading people to believe that this ban would outlaw late-term abortion.
Well, so is the national right to life then split from the Colorado right to life?
Yeah, Colorado right to life, Brian Rohrbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
He's the president. He's a Columbine dad.
Right.
He was asked, "Do you guys have the authority to make, you know, these claims?" And he said, "Our authority comes from God, and we were in existence before National Right to Life."
Mm-hmm.
So National Right to Life could give up use of the name, but Colorado Right to Life is not going to.
Okay. Has Mr. Rohrbaugh been pressured that you know of?
Well, to do what? There are plenty of people who don't like what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So pressured to do what?
Pressure to cease and desist and stop talking about
it. Oh, well, yeah, that would be what all the criticism is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, all the criticism is, you know, what's going on? Why are you guys doing this? It's friendly fire. You're attacking our friends and our heroes.
Mm-hmm. And what is your response to that?
That there's a divide in the Christian community, and we are not sure that the other side has more love for Dr. Dobson than our side. Because when a Christian is going astray, if you love your neighbor, your friend, you'll warn him. So we're not sure that the other side has more love for Dr. Dobson than we do.
So what happens next with the movement? With what you're doing, and specifically this silver platter that you've been handed?
Yes. We will continue to spend money to get this message out to pro-life Christians that the pro-life movement has become a moral relativist fundraiser. And we hope to provide leadership for pro-lifers to get back on track with defending the personhood and God-given right of the unborn child. That's what we hope to do. We hope to provide leadership for the average pro-lifer to defend the personhood and God-given right to life of the unborn child. Now, when you put in your column, Kara,
mm-hmm.
that it was all men,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's funny. We had a protest at a Holiday Inn in Denver
mm-hmm.
when Planned Parenthood had their annual convention at the Holiday Inn of the Rocky Mountains. So they had about 100 people there for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And we had rooms. We rented rooms on the same floors they were on. And so we were there for the weekend as a protest.
Mm-hmm.
And a local paper wrote a report of it. And we had a picket line. And they said, as always, there were more men than women.
Yes.
And we actually had people sign in to the picket lines. And we had the names of everyone who was there. And there were significantly more women than men. And it's so funny. It's almost as though the cliches automatically type on the keyboard. And so you wrote that, of course, everyone who paid for the ad were men. And Judy Brown, president of American Life League, is a woman. And there were only 5 people who signed the ad. And those 5 groups, Colorado Right to Life, their president signed it, but they've got a ton of women on their board. Leslie Hanks is mentioned in the open letter. She's a board member.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, Carrie, you should think about this. A lot of pro-choice people say men have no authority to speak on the issue of abortion, but it was all men who decided Roe v. Wade. It was all men.
That's an excellent point.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, just...
Well, thank you. I appreciate
it. You're welcome.
I appreciate you calling me on that.
You're welcome. And it's a very minor point.
Well, no, I think it's an important one.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
Historically, women are more pro-life than men are. Men are more pro-choice than women in national polls that I've seen for 15 years.
So do you support an all-female Supreme Court?
Supreme Court, all-female?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what a question. I would have no problem with that at all.
If they, especially if they were all
I advocate. Here's what I advocate, and here's what Focus on the Family has never said. We want judges who fear God and will protect the innocent. We want judges who will fear God and protect the innocent.
You know, you that's interesting because you mentioned James Dobson's original book, the one that put him on the map, which was
Dare to Discipline.
Dare to Discipline. Is that where you got your inspiration for your disciplinary
technique? For becoming a convicted child abuser?
Mm-hmm.
Let me think. Dr. Dobson talked about spanking, and when I spanked my stepson when I was convicted, five swats on the backside, it was said in the media far and wide that it broke the skin and all these claims, and the police were over within minutes of the spanking, and the police didn't say, your son needs medical care, there's blood, he needs stitches. That was not true. He was spanked. He got five swats on the backside, and he had three red marks on his backside. And that's what we think of as a good spanking. That's a good spanking. And that's the way I was spanked, so I think I learned that from my dad. And that's the way he was spanked. And today, kids don't have boundaries. They have much less respect for authority, for adults, for teachers, parents, for police. And suicide is one of the leading causes of death of young people in America, maybe the top in the top three for the last 20 years or so. So kids are pretty unhappy. They're miserable. And we think it's because they don't have boundaries, because you have to cajole or trick your child into respecting and obeying authority. So we'll put the happiness of our kids up against the average, say, kids that go to a public school any day. It's pretty sad that kids, I mean, an epidemic of suicide among young people is tragic. And that is directly the fruit of the jihad against spanking. We see every time, I mean, you go to the store and you see kids throwing temper tantrums and they're miserable. And kids will spend hundreds of hours of their childhood miserable and hating their parents. And I'm part of a network of homeschool families and kids by the tens, hundreds of thousands of kids who are being homeschooled. And that whole experience is foreign to us. Our kids love us. They respect us. We interact with them in a group of adults. My parents, they love to have our kids over spend the night. And how many times have I heard grandparents say they just can't take it anymore, how disobedient and disrespectful their grandkids are? I mean, that's become a phenomenon in America. With grandparents are robbed of the joy of spending time with grandkids who love and respect them. And that's all part of the jihad against spanking, because kids need those boundaries.
Well, now, so are you saying that kids are committing suicide because they're not being spanked?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, they don't have boundaries.
Wow.
Yeah, homeschool kids who are raised in traditional morality. For example, our church, we have 110 people who are on church on Sunday. I don't know how many kids, 30 kids. There is so much enjoyment between the adults and the kids. We enjoy going to restaurants with all the kids, which we do every Sunday. You know, four of us will say, let's go to lunch, and it'll end up 34 people every Sunday. And so Applebee's really likes us.
Right.
And sometimes we'll put all the kids at one table, as in, say, 10 kids. sometimes, usually they sit, they distribute, but sometimes we'll put all the kids at one table where the oldest kid will be 10 mm-hmm. and the youngest will be 4. And I always say to the waiter, when we're done, you have to grade the kid's behavior. And the worse of a grade you give them, the higher your tip, because that means you had to work harder. So you got to grade them. The worse they behave, the higher your tip. And they're extraordinarily polite, fun, respectful. And so we see with our own eyes, we know that liberals have made this jihad against spanking part of their holy war, but it's not worked. It has hurt kids. And kids are suffering with a terrible self-image, and they're committing suicide in epidemic numbers because they disrespect themselves and they disrespect authority. And when kids have boundaries by parents who love them enough to spank them and risk a moment's disapproval, those kids are far happier and far more emotionally healthy.
So what is your relationship with your stepson now?
Tremendous. It couldn't be better.
How old is he now?
19.
Okay.
And it couldn't be better.
Wow.
And my wife, Cheryl, and I were just married at the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I had two boys, and she had two boys.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife had two stepsons through all these really hard teenage years, you know, of stepkids. You probably know some families that have stepkids.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just recently asked my wife, during all those years and all the thousands of hours where I was at work and you were with the kids, did your two stepsons, my two boys, were they ever disrespectful to you? Ever? Did they ever say anything that was rude to you or disrespectful? And she thought for a moment and she said, not once. Not once. And that is our experience as Christian homeschoolers. Now, are the kids perfect? No, they disobey. And I'm trying to think, when was the last time I had to spank my kids? Over a year? A year? And we have seven boys. And they are so pleasant, so fun, so enjoyable. And that's the testimony of everyone we know who hang out with them. They play ice hockey and soccer and they do everything.
Seven boys?
Seven boys.
No girls?
We never figured out girls. My grandmother from Italy, she said, if you want boys, eat broccoli. And my wife and I have a curse. We love broccoli. It's weird.
Okay, so you have seven boys because you love broccoli.
I don't know why, really, but that's my grandmother's theory. Edith Galluccio.
What a wonderful story.
Yeah, it's funny. It is funny. This is Bob and you're breaking into my own show. Okay, tomorrow, Lord willing, we'll play the second half of this, and it gets more interesting. I challenge Kara DeGette, for example, on the likelihood that she's never complained about China's forced abortion for millions of women and this claim that these liberals are pro-choice when the evidence is against that. They're not pro-choice. They support killing kids. So we'll get to that tomorrow. And Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a tremendous school. And September 22nd, Colorado Right to Life's Banquet. Please call us and come on out. This is Bob and Yart at kgov.com.